Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, it is Colourful.tv, Big Fight Weekly, with myself, Stuart Palmer, and my co-host, Chris and Christian. It is good to be back, Chris.
Yeah.
Get that one out of the way.
It's been what, about a month now, hasn't it? But what about that intro? Guys that are watching this, what do you think of the intro? We try to mix it up, you know, refresh it, you know, give a bit more feel about Big Fight Weekly. So love to know your comments and what you thought about the intro. But yeah, it's great to be back, Stuart.
A big thank you to Chris Stetton as well. He's produced it for us. So yeah, big thank you to Chris Stetton. We dreamt what we were going to do, and he's put it in there. You know, absolutely fantastic. Chris, without further ado, back into the fight action, and it's at heavyweight. There's a big debate across heavyweight concerning four guys: Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, Alexander Usyk, and Dillian White, the forgotten man many times. You know, he is WBC mandatory at heavyweight. But yeah, Chris, what are your thoughts with all this? Because allegedly, AJ was offered $50 million. We've got a clip of AJ to show in a bit, but it's an absolute kerfuffle. This is why it's better in the UFC, where it's all housed under one umbrella. It just delays everything, just delays it, having all these boxing boards, as we've said before.
Oh, it's frustrating, isn't it? It's like, I don't get the whole rematch clauses. I mean, if the fight's close, then fair enough, have a rematch. You know, if you've lost, you've lost. Move to the back of the line. Get the next guy in. Having this kerfuffle of, you know, paying £50 million to AJ to him to step aside for Fury to face Usyk, or there's the problem with Dillian White where they're not, is it matching the purse between them? It's really frustrating.
That 80-20 in favour of Fury and White's getting 20 is low. It is low, but at the same token, think how much money's going to be drawn with Fury on that. You know, he's probably going to make the biggest amount of money he's ever made. But I do think, you know, they are taking the piss a little bit, you know, only offering White the supposed 20%.
What's your sort of aspect in this? And are we going to see Fury versus White? Or are we going to get a Fury versus Usyk before we get a Usyk versus Joshua?
I don't think, you know, from what AJ's been saying, it's been misreported. He's not been approached about, right, you step aside, and we'll have Usyk and Fury, you know, as the video will show in a bit. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, how many more years is White going to be mandatory WBC? He lost it to Povetkin last year, then he got it back. Sorry, September 2020, lost it, avenged defeat. He's back as mandatory. I mean, you know, this lad has got to get a fight. All right, Fury's going to be heavy favourite for it, but White deserves a shot. And I know we spoke about it a lot in 2021. You know, White has got power as well, but he shouldn't be overlooked for them to do Usyk and Fury. I just think it's an absolute, it's farcical. It's farcical. And it's delaying fights. You know what I mean? You're going into months and months of delays, Chris.
Well, here's a question for you then. Would you rather Joshua step out the way and have Fury versus Usyk? Because my feelings is, I think the same situation is going to happen with Joshua and Usyk again. And then this whole, you know, the big fight we all want to see is Fury versus Joshua. That goes away then, doesn't it, if he loses to Usyk again? Unless, he can build himself back up and eventually get to Fury, if Fury's still around by that point. Would you, if you were Joshua, think, right, okay, I'll take the money, I'll step aside, but in the clause of this contract is, I want the winner of these two. So, in hindsight, we could end up with Fury and Joshua if he stepped aside and that was the clause. Because my feelings is, I think Usyk beats Joshua again. And I think Fury beats White.
Without question, Chris. But then again, it doesn't seem to me like Joshua would want to step aside for it. But then...
No, I get that as well.
Like Fury said last year, why would I want to face Joshua if he's lost twice to Usyk? So you've got to look at it.
The whole thing.
There's fours and against on both sides, as with anything. But it's just, I feel for White if that was to happen out of all of these guys, because he deserves a shot at the title.
No, I totally agree.
The man's been boxing for years now,
paid his dues, hasn't he?
Kickboxing. And now, how much longer do you want to delay it?
Well, I think just pay the man, what's it? Did you say 60-20? Was it 70-20?
80-20. It's like it's going to be his biggest payday ever he's ever going to get. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, but 20-20 is an absolute abomination. The man deserves more than that. 60-40, 70-30.
Well, Fury's going to have the highest percentage, but it's a farce. I think just, pay the man, let them fight. Maybe get these two fights in around each other in the next couple of months, because then we can get the clear winners and then the clear picture of who's going to fight each other next, and then we can get the world moving around again, because it's boring to see the same arguments and the same conversations we're having about let's obviously eliminate Dillian at the moment, but Fury, Usyk, Joshua, it's the same conversation we've been having since we started the show last year, and it's like, it'd be nice if we can just get a full circle and get them in the ring and let them fight, because it's boring to constantly having to go around and they're mentioning the same things over and over again, really.
It's just, it's absolutely unbelievable. Has anyone commented on this yet, Chris?
As it pertains to this scenario.
Tyler has. Hello, it's Isaac. It's my mate from Norwich. We all know AJ would get walloped again. Let's move on. Yeah, it's a fair comment. It's a fair comment from Isaac.
Brett has graced himself with us, but Brett, I see a comment, mate. I've actually got something up my sleeve for that. I haven't told Stuart yet this one, but Brett, I'm going to answer that question.
Okay, when we get on to that, yeah, absolutely. And here he is, Lewis up in Scotland, Lewis Young. How are you all doing? We're all good. We're good here, mate. And Ramel from the Philippines, our good friend Ramel over there in Asia. Hello, guys. Good to see you, man. Heels rules. Nice to see you in the chat as well. Hey, you guys are back. Hope you're all okay. Chris, we're okay, aren't we?
Yeah, it's been all right. It's been a nice relaxing, and sort of focus on things for the show for the last couple of weeks we've been off. So, yeah, it's been nice and relaxing, but, full pelt now.
Steve Moatman, good to see you again, bud. Anyone know if Jake Paul will headline WrestleMania and stay out of boxing? That would be wishful thinking, I think, because he's carving out a record.
Starting to encroach in my sport now, though, isn't he?
Is there any basis of that?
I'll tell you soon, Paul.
George Panthers promoter in Virginia. He's been part of the NWA for many years. I've got George coming on SWP tomorrow. That'll be the next episode. We're recording tomorrow. Thank you, George. Chris Dutton's done a great job. Brought our ideas to life for that. So, yeah, we're really happy with the end product, mate. Hope you're well, bud. See you tomorrow, George, in the morning. Well, afternoon, all time. Lewis Young, will you be going to UFC in London?
I'd love to. I would love to. But I think the tickets are going to go like hotcakes. I'll happily watch it at home. I'd love to do a live big fight weekly for UFC London, because it's a good time, isn't it? Everyone will be around. And maybe me and Rommel, and maybe Stuart, if you can, we could do a live big fight weekly. On the UFC London in March. The card looked banging.
Bisping was getting hit up for tickets, because I was watching the weigh-ins last week live, and he said, just reiterating what you're saying, the tickets, because we haven't had a show over here for so long, they're just going to go, aren't they, Chris? In ridiculous fashion,
It's a ticket touters as well that get you.
Yeah. Brett Thomas, hello, Brett. Jake Paul, baby. Yeah. I thought you'd be something along those lines. Yeah, and I think we'll get to the clip now with Joshua, Chris, if there's no more comments at the moment.
There's comments, but there's something I want to go with it in a bit.
Okay, okay, that's fine. But here's AJ.
About all these interviews I see. I see certain interviews that quote what I said. I think to myself, I ain't done no interviews. Where did this person get this information from? I'm hearing people saying AJ accepts 15 million to step aside. I ain't signed no contract. I ain't seen no contract. So as it stands, stop listening to the bullshit until it comes from me. I'm the man in control of my destiny. I'm the man that handles my business. I'm a smart individual and I make calculated decisions every step of the way. Don't listen to the bullshit from other sources. If I tell you something.
And it was reported in the Telegraph, and we all know who the writer for the sport, for the combat sports is. It's Gareth A. Davis. He's actually come out with a video himself through IFL. But yeah, it's not the reporting it, but it hasn't happened. But we're all led to believe it was happening. He was going to step aside, 15 million. But yeah, there it is, cleared up on AJ's side, Chris.
Sounds like Everton's managerial bloody circus going on at the moment. You know what I mean? All these new papers reporting this, reporting that. Gets on my fucking nerves, if I'm honest with you. Listen, apart from him swinging back of the chairs, I'm having to follow with my flipping eyes then as he's swinging back on his chair when he was talking then. But yeah, look, it has to come from him. If he wants to step aside, he'll step aside. If he doesn't, then he doesn't. And then we'll see the fight. Let's just get the fight, you know, started. Let's get it booked. Let's get the announcement. Let's, you know, gear to the fight then. Let's stop the talking now and let's, you know, let's have it all, you know, sorted out. I'm frustrated and it's boring to hear.
It's just ridiculous. We're producing, we've got such a stronghold on the heavyweight division in boxing and they can't get the fights made. And, you know, restrictions now, it's not as bad. They need to be getting it booked, signed, sealed, delivered. Get the first two fights done. Let's see who wins them. And then, you know, we can get Fury and whoever it is. But not writing off Dylan White there, you know. He might upset the apple cart. Is heavyweight boxing at the end of the day. But yeah, I think that pretty much encapsulates everything as it pertains to that story, Chris. And I think we're going to move on to UFC 270 from this past weekend, Chris. And Francis Ngannou dominates with wrestling against Cyril Gane, retains the title. Chris, I'm going to go to you first with this one.
This picture right in front of you now, in front of everyone who's watching with us, it's insane in a way. And it says a thousand things to me. I don't know about you, but I didn't see this coming. I didn't see the wrestling of Ngannou. Obviously, he's a very powerful man. And if he can get his hands collapsed between your legs, then you're going to go for a ride, of course, because he's powerful enough to pick you up and slam you on the floor. I obviously didn't know that he blew his MCL or his ACL before the fight, was told by the doctors to pull out Stuart prior to this. But obviously he didn't. And that's why you've got the knee wraps around him at the time. This fight, okay, for me, that was a tale of Cyril Gane's first two rounds. I think he did well. He popped and moved. He did what he always does with his fighters. He measures, you know, takes his pot shots, goes for the you know, the jab to the kick to the body. I'm just stumbling my words here. And, he, you know, he made the space and he made Ngannou work. But Ngannou's not like, you know, he's a powerful man, but he's not a fantastic technical boxer. This is why it baffles me, why he wants to face Tyson Fury. He's got power. But, you know, when you're facing someone like Tyson Fury, if you've seen with Deontay Wilder, power doesn't mean anything. But he turned it round. Obviously, the game plan with his ACL, MCL being torn must have been at wrestling. And obviously, saw Kamaru Usman, who was in his corner. So they must have worked on a lot with Kamaru Usman. You know, Kamaru Usman's one of the best wrestlers, grapplers in UFC. So you can see that the game plan was to get Gane on his back. I didn't expect Gane to be as poor on his back because, you know, he's got a few submission wins in UFC, Gane. I didn't realize he was going to be as poor. I know, obviously, again, we're looking at Ngannou's strength and his weight on top of you. It's not an easy thing to sort of get out of. But I thought he would have moved more and frustrated got Ngannou and got back to his feet. To say this, I still think Gane outstruck Ngannou throughout the whole fight. And this is where it makes me think that I don't know if I feel like Ngannou won this fight, and I feel like it might, for me, I'm very close to 3-2 to Gane, because I think Gone got more shots off, and you could see it with the stats. I should have got a picture of the match.
I can read the stats here, mate. On six strikes, Chris, it was 43 of 104 Francis Ngannou. Cyril Gane was 63 of 91. And then total strikes, it was Ngannou 71 to 139. And then 79 to 107 with Ngan. And then on takedowns, it was 4 of 5 for Ngannou. And then one of three for Gane on the takedowns. So,
and this is what I mean. What are we judging on now? Like, are we judging on the striking? Or are we judging on the grappling control? Because it baffles me. Because I remember they changed a ruling so you couldn't be blanketed throughout a fight. You know, back in the day, a wrestler would take a good striker down with Nate and they'd lay and prey on them for 15 to 25 minutes. And, it would piss a lot of people off. I find it frustrating that we're looking at it as in striking an octagon control doesn't get you the win, but taking someone down and not doing, he didn't do that much on the ground to Gane, if I'm honest. Great game plan. I was impressed with his wrestling. Mm-hmm. So Ngannou, he's adding elements to his skill set. But
it was a feeling out process. I felt the first two rounds. And then you start to see that. Then, they were trying to suss one another out, weren't they? You could see that. I thought Gane was going to upset him. I really did prior. I really thought, but it just shows that Ngannou, can be well-rounded. It's not just, as you said, that one-punch power. He has showcased himself.
And obviously, we've had the whole problems with the contracts, haven't we, with Ngannou? UFC put the pay-per-view up in America, didn't they, for the start of this pay-per-view, and it felt like a lot of people, and not me personally, but a lot of other people's opinions are across the YouTube and the social media sort of frenzy, thinking they were trying to purposely tank Ngannou. So his buy rates of this would be crap going into negotiation skills. Negotiation for his new contract, sorry, not his skills. I already have negotiation skills, he's a fighter. It's turned out now, obviously, he's going to have this injury. An ACL and MCL sort of tear is quite a bad injury. And he's only got 1 year left on his contract, which is January next year. And so
we're going to be getting into the interim realms again, then, aren't we? Length of time. That's long enough for somebody to become interim champion again. But this is the one I wanted to pose to you. John Jones has been very vocal
in the last
week or so about it. What happens with him? Also, does he have to? He can't go straight in for the title fight, surely, Chris. But it's the UFC. What do you feel? Does he have the tune-up fight first, or does he go straight in?
I listen. He's a former champion. He left the division as a champion, so naturally, in John Jones being John Jones, I think it makes sense. He would get immediate title shot. But obviously, we don't know how long Ngannou is going to be off now with his injury. Does he want to come back if he's only getting paid $600,000 to show and to win, which is not very, if you look at it, the grand scheme of things, it's not much, is it, for a heavyweight champion that? I think John Jones will probably think, I'd like to see if we're going for a tune-up now, if we're going for that way, Stipe versus John Jones would be a great fight. For John Jones to be welcomed into the heavyweight division, because I think Stipe is probably a bit older, but I think he's got a good test of skills for John Jones if John Jones was to take that. But I'm hearing Curtis Blaydes could be Stipe's return fight, which again
is a good one. It sells, there's no question of that.
We've also got our own Tom Aspinall's been matched with Volkov for UFC London, which is a very dangerous fight for Tom Aspinall because I thought he was taking it slow. So this is quite a big bump up. So you're seeing fights are starting to organise now. With Ngannou out, you could easily see a move now and say John Jones versus Stipe for the interim title. That could easily be made now. Because obviously with the contract issues with Ngannou, the injury with Ngannou, this could be prime time for John Jones to jump in, face Stipe and, defend that interim in the meantime, because he's going to have to, because if Ngannou's out for a considerable amount of time. We could see it. It's an interesting division now because heavyweight is starting to pick up there and it's moving fast.
And you can go right down the list as well, man. They're all absolute killers. So yeah, I look forward to it in the next few months, absolutely, and beyond.
We'll move on to the co-main event, Stuart.
There we go.
A brilliant fight.
Chris, I'm going to ask you who won that fight. And also, the judges' scorecards 48-47 across the board. But yeah, your thoughts first, and I'll chime in.
I think 48-47 is actually quite a fair score because, excuse me. I think it was a very compact fight. You know what I mean? I don't think it's as close to what people think. I know a lot of people think Brandon Moreno beat Davidson Figueiredo. I think Figueiredo beat him, Stuart. He dropped him multiple times. I think he was in more control of the fight throughout of the five rounds they had. I think Moreno won. I think I'd give Moreno maybe rounds 2 and 4. But I think Figueiredo won the rest of them. I think Figueiredo was just on it. I didn't realise as well, he's a good one, Stuart, that when they weighed the night of the fight, Figueiredo, obviously, being flyweights, aren't they? Flyweights. He weighed in at 143 pounds on the night, Stuart. And Brandon Moreno weighed in at 138, I think it was.
Wow. Which is, you know, it's considerable, isn't it?
But
you're talking pounds.
Yeah, you are, because it makes a massive difference. But in regards to the fight, I think Figueiredo won the fight. I think, you know, him dropping Moreno twice in the first round with those calf kicks. Calf kicks are such an in thing at the moment, but they're so dangerous and they can neutralize a lot of fighters, you know, and they're hard to check, aren't they, in the calf kicks. Moreno, again, you know, he caught Figueiredo a few times, but I think Figueiredo was just on it. He dropped Moreno twice in the fifth round as well. I just think Figueiredo was on his game. Moreno was just, I think, a step behind Figueiredo in this fight. But as you say before, off camera, Stuart, maybe a fourth fight could be incoming in Mexico, I hear.
They've got to do the fourth. But like you said, you know, as you said, they're very reluctant, aren't they, to do a fourth. You know, you don't hear of it. But I think, you know, it's that draw. They had the draw, didn't they, as well? So yeah, you like to think they're going to do it, but I just couldn't get over the frenetic pace from both fighters, which we've come to expect from the first two fights. But just what a showcase of skills on the feet, man! Unbelievable, the punches, the kicks, the volume. You know, I've got the six strikes here written down. Moreno, 105 of 259 on significant strikes. Figueiredo, 86 of 169. So that's the percentage. Moreno, 40% have landed. And then Figueiredo's landed 50% of his. And then total strikes, it was 106, Moreno, Figueiredo in 95 across the five rounds.
It's very close. It's very, very close. Listen, it's one of those fights where if you watch it more than once, you get a better picture of it. When you're first watching it, you sort of, you know, your heart beating, you go in with the fight. But the second time round, you analyse it a bit better. And you see where Figueiredo sort of wins the points in the rounds.
I think the control stats as well, the amount of time. Figueiredo, 2 minutes and 18 of control. Mm-hmm. Moreno, 46 seconds.
That's, so he's
nearly trebling, you know, him on the ground there. So maybe that has really helped, I think, to sway the judges. If you're looking at the stats, that's a significant thing where you can, you know, break them off and say who the winner was. So I think, it gives credence to what you were saying of Figueiredo, mate.
I love the scrambles in the first rounds, mate. You know, I love my grappling, so I thought they were just well executed. But then I'm a bit of a girl in it when it comes to grappling. So yeah, listen, it was a great fight. I do like to think maybe down the line that they'll match them up. I'd maybe not match them up straight away. Let's give Figueiredo and Moreno some fresh fighters. Let's rebuild Moreno and let's give Figueiredo someone new. Obviously, Figueiredo was with Henry Cejudo, wasn't he, in his camp, and obviously was working on a lot of different sort of aspects of his grappling, which is good because, you know, Henry Cejudo, and as much as he's an arsehole, he's a very good wrestler. But hold on, actually. There we go. Rom's actually piped up. Yeah, I didn't see.
Here we go. Yeah, Ramel loves his UFC. So, yeah, Figueiredo won it. Those KOs made the difference.
I think you might mean kicks. The kicks, there were a lot of calf kicks, yeah. Yeah, but like I say, there's sort of kicks at the moment, Stuart, that neutralise people. We saw it with a lot of fighters. Dustin Poirier did it to Conor McGregor last January, completely offset him.
Absolutely.
But they also can break your leg, as you've seen with Chris Weidman when you go
yeah,
through.
Man. Got it, Herbie. You said about them quite a lot last year. You know, they love throwing them, but you know, it's the case of the bloody land. You're going to know about it, as did Weidman. Yeah, someone is going for the shoot. Wasn't expecting Francis was the one who did it, but it shows in that fight he doesn't belong in the boxing ring. Yeah, reiterating what you said, Chris, about him wanting to take on Fury. Punch power, yes. Boxer, stance, movement, no.
It doesn't work for me. You know, yeah, it's a lot of men. You fight Fury and it's the crossover again. I don't think we're ever going to get a big crossover like McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. I think that was a one-of-a-kind sort of thing. But it's money again, isn't it? I think Ngannou is looking at the money aspect. If he faces Fury in the boxing, in the boxing ring, he's going to get millions upon millions of pounds. But as you've seen, he only got 600,000, you know, for the fight on the weekend. So I can go on.
What's going to happen with this fight of pay? Because he's not the only guy to come out and say about he wants more. And as you said, if they're putting up pay-per-view prices, what is it now, $80 in the US? $79.99, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a big increase.
What do you feel with this? Will it be sorted? Will they pay more? Will they have to pay more? Will people jump ship?
Well, Bellator pay more. I can give you that, but Viacom have more money than the UFC themselves. This falls actually nicely into something I've got here for you, Stuart.
Right, okay.
And I don't know if you knew about this.
I do. I've read about it in the last couple of days.
Just like, if you want to read that out, this is...
invested in EDR, and he's bracketed UFC, stock with my partner, Jeffrey Wu. That's not that accounting guy that Dana White was talking about. It is him. The warlock.
He's got
the warlock
him,
is Dana White, so poignantly put it. So Jeffrey Wu, focus on UFC's ESG standards relating to fighters. We believe EDR can drive long-term economic value by increasing UFC fighter pay and providing them healthcare. Reaching out to Engine Number One to partner on this endeavor. Chris, what the hell is going on here?
Listen, he's got the pulling power of the money.
Is it an inside job and him and Dana are fooling us all with all their banter back and forth? Some nasty stuff was said as well.
I think he generally actually hates Jake Paul. You know, he's not probably the only one in the world. But this is a very good way to get up Dana's backside by going and put shares in the company that owns UFC. I don't think he's going to have the power to sort of change anything per se. I still think that, you know, Endeavor aren't going to go, well, Jake Paul's got a certain percentage. He can go in and go, I want Dana White and UFC to pay more fighters. I don't think it works like that. But I think you could have a say in a board meeting, I guess, if you're a shareholder. But I don't think it changes much. It's going to take the class action lawsuit that's going on at the moment. It's been going on for a couple of years. They're trying to change things. I can't remember who was in it now. I think it was like Kung Lee and John Fitch. I think Randy Couture was in it actually as well. But they're trying to change fighter pay and healthcare. I'm quite astonished that UFC don't offer healthcare or anything for fighters who have retired. But then we go about this, but all sports need something to have like a parachute for any sportsman that retire. There isn't that sort of blanket or safety net, is it? But I think healthcare, that astonished me that, you know, healthcare, they don't offer healthcare considering what sport you're in and the damage you're taking. It's weird and strange, but I can see what he's doing, and it is winding Dana right up. And this goes back into what Brett obviously said.
Right, Brett's on this. Right, here he goes. He loves his pulls. We know this. I think Jake could save USC and help fighters get better pay. Hope you both had good Xmas and a new year. Well, I had COVID. I tested positive on Boxing Day. Chris has already had it. So, yeah, Christmas Day, Christmas night was fine, but then it was 10 days of isolation because the rules haven't changed to 7 days. So I had to do a week and a half of it. Absolute nightmare. But, yeah, made the most of it. The darts was on, the football. So that's what I did. But, yeah, thank you, Brett. Chris? And then, isn't Jake trying to buy UFC? Hello, Carnage Pain. Welcome back. Not seen you for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while for you, Carnage Pain. My Christmas was fine. Like, you know, just chilled out, just relaxed. You know, I work in retail, so, you know, it's quite hectic over the Christmas period. So it was nice to get 4 days off over Christmas and watch everyone else squirm instead of me, where I could have a few beers. And obviously, we didn't have the football to watch, which is probably quite good, and we didn't, because obviously COVID was impacting football at the time, wasn't it? So, yeah, it was all right. I enjoyed it. I hope you had a good Christmas and New Year, Brett.
And it shows he ate box office. Is that in Garnu?
I think that's in Garnu, what Rom's
saying.
Right,
okay. Yeah. Well, it's going to upset the apple cart, that is, with him being involved. But there we go. Chris, mate, have you ever seen the Brazilian MMA called SFC? Been watching a bit. He told me, Isaac had told me about this.
I've caught bits and pieces of it. Yeah, I know UFC are quite in there with their fighters. They brought a few of their fighters over to the UFC quite recently, actually. Little organization, but they put on some really good fights in Brazil. To be fair, there's a few more. I can't remember off the top of my head. Companies, Isaac, you should watch. I'll tell them to Stuart to pass them along to you.
Well, send them. Just get Isaac on Instagram. You can send them over. He's on Instagram. He's not on Facebook, you see. Just because you can have a debate with him.
Bob them over.
Loves all that. Yeah. Are we moving on to the upcoming fights, Chris? Or have we got something else?
No, I've got this coming up, Paul.
This is a good segment, this. This is a great segment. So, yeah. We've got UFC 271 coming up very soon, haven't we? Adesanya Whittaker 2, which would be fantastic. Covington and Masvidal. Now, I've been reading, a lot of people are saying Masvidal won't be able to beat Covington after his showing against... fucking hell, it's gone. It's gone, Chris. Kamaru.
Usman.
A lot of people are basing it off the fact that, you know, Covington's done relatively well, you know, better than others. Right. And then we've got Volkanovski and the Korean Zombie, Chris, for 273. And then Charles Oliveira and Gaethje. It's only been announced in the last day or so,
last 24 hours, I think, yeah.
So, yeah, all of them for me look amazing. But if I had to pick one, I'd say in terms of beef, you know, forget titles and stuff like that, it's Covington and Masvidal for me, you know.
Yeah.
Out of all of them. Because we've been waiting for it, haven't we? For quite a while, former campmates, former teammates, they were Bezzy mates, and there's been the fallout, Chris. So yeah, I'm going for UFC 272 is the most, you know, one I'm looking forward to.
I'm very disappointed this wasn't an Ultimate Fighter, Stuart. These two have
Why not? Like, it gives you that story arc aside from the fighters, doesn't it? Who were in the show trying to win it.
I think Dana White alluded to something about timings. They couldn't get the timings for them to do it. But you know what? If you wanted to sell it on a fighter a second time round from its return, this would have been it, Covington and Masvidal. I know they're looking at Pena and Nunes as the coaches for the next series, which, you know, it might be okay. But I don't think they sell well, to be honest with you. I think Covington and Masvidal sell perfectly. And you don't really need to give them a push, really, you know, to have an argument or kick off each other on screen. So that would have been a brilliant watch, but unfortunately we're not getting that. But I have to agree with you. I look at it this way, and these are my opinions, so obviously you might not have to agree with me. I think Izzy Whittaker, I think it'll be a good fight. I think Whittaker's come back out and he's come back on fire. He's got the passion back, Whittaker. He's looked phenomenal in his last couple of fights to get himself back into the picture. Izzy's obviously, he's gone up. He lost to Pavic. He's come back down. He beat Vettori, which, you know, is no easy feat because Vettori was fire as well at the time.
Vettori was smothering people on the ground, mate, left and right. Dominance. Yep. And then, you know, let's be fair to Vettori. He was one of the you know, ones to watch last year, wasn't he? Really came to the fore. And then, you know, it's not a bad one losing to Adesanya. He was one of the best fighters of 2021, Vettori, for me.
And don't forget, he went up to light heavy to fight Paulo Costa, because Paulo Costa, you know, can't go off his wine, can he, to cut weight? it's true, though. Listen, I think this fight's going to be close, but I think Izzy's going to still come away with victory. I don't think he's going to knock Whittaker out on this one. I think this is going to be very close. I feel like if he says he thinks of Blachowicz is the blueprint to beat Izzy, but I actually think, Stuart, Kelvin Gastelum had the blueprint to beat Izzy. Watch that fight back, because he rocks Izzy a fair few times in that, and he had Izzy on the ropes, and Izzy was struggling in that fight. Came away with the victory, and he could have, he should have probably dropped Kelvin Gastelum and beaten him, but Kelvin Gastelum's a monster, isn't he? He's kept on getting back up. But I think Izzy probably pushed that, and I think that'll probably be like a, that could be a split unanimous decision. You say about Covington and Masvidal, I think Covington's is going to wet blanket him completely. I just think Covington is the next best after Usman in that division. Okay, obviously, I know we've got Hazmat Shemaev coming up, and we've that him and Gilbert Burns are rumored to be put getting put together, which is a good contest to see where is Shemaev the real deal. But yeah, I think Covington's going to beat Masvidal. I think, I don't know how Masvidal's going to react after being knocked out by Usman. You know what I mean? Can change a man. Volkanovski versus Korean Zombie. Very disappointed this is not Max Holloway.
No, man. It's a shame. It's a shame because Max has been really good, hasn't he? Off the back of losing to Volkanovski. Yeah. He's looked like one of the best he's looked in years.
Yeah, and it, don't forget, his fight a few months ago against Yair Rodriguez was absolutely amazing. They're both so technical on standing up. Well, you know, one's very good at boxing, well, an elite boxer, and Yair's an elite kicker. And it just showed in that fight, you know. Very disappointed Max obviously got injured. I know that Gigi Klingadze, who obviously fought the other week, Stuart, before we've come back, had an absolutely banging fight with Calvin Kattar. He obviously chimed in and laughed at this fight, but obviously laughs back at Gigi now because he's lost against Calvin Kattar. Hey. Hats off to Calvin Kattar, Stuart, because he was absolutely phenomenal.
He stopped the kickboxing. You know, Chikadze was a world-class kickboxer before coming into the promotion, and he backed him. He kept him going backwards, didn't he? You know, perfect tactics from Kattar.
Yeah, I think Volkanovski quite handily beats Korean Zombie. Korean Zombie's looked very good coming back after injury. He's been off a couple of good victories. I just think Volkanovski's too much for Korean Zombie. But, you know, hopefully we'll get Max and Volkanovski set some point this year. But I heard that Max's injury is quite a bad one. So he could be out for quite a significant amount of time himself. But maybe we could see Volkanovski, if he beats Korean Zombie, maybe go up a division. We spoke about this in this last fight. Maybe take a dip in that pond, the weight above you. See how you can do that.
I think he's short, but he's just so powerful. I think he'd be a hit up there. You know,
I totally agree.
I don't think it matters about him being like shorter. He's just he's like a Mack truck for his size.
Oh yeah. But there's possibilities in that, you know. Maybe Calvin Kattar could get a title shot after shutting down Gladzi that way, you know. But then we've got Arnold Allen in that division as well, Stuart, and he's been obviously matched with Dan Hooker. Co-main event at London.
Which just makes you think you want to be there in person, but like tickets are going to be going like hotcakes, and then you're going to be getting charged maybe 2, 3 times, 4 times as much on the second-hand market, if you will, on the resale market. But yeah, Chris Oliveira. Obviously, lightweight champion against Gaethje, where, you know, Gaethje's been fantastic. I think, does he pose a bigger threat than Poirier did to Oliveira in your mind in striking terms?
The leg kicks is what I think is what people don't really look at when it kind of, a few people do, but, they always talk about Gaethje's the chin and his striking. It's his leg kicks that are killers, Stuart. People sleep on Justin Gaethje's leg kicks. And Justin Gaethje is the one that really masterminded the calf kick, really, in the UFC, that people sort of took notice of it. He whips the kicks, but he whips them so close to you. You struggle to get, to check him or get out of the way of them. And you saw Michael Chandler in the last fight, and he's come out and said he actually found that fight boring, Stuart, which is madness to think. Like, yeah, but hey, you know, brains of a fighter.
It was a war of attrition, that one. Right, you're gonna have to extend off that. Why was it boring for him?
I think because he sat back. I think it's because he sat back and he couldn't unload. It's one of them. Listen, Gaethje Oliveira is an interesting again because it's striker versus grappler. But obviously, we know that Oliveira is getting better with the strikes, and Oliveira, he's getting a different range of skill set with his striking now. A bit better boxer than he was, 4 or 5 years ago. But this is going to go to the ground. And I'm telling you this now. Oliveira is going to submit Gaethje. He can't get caught, though, because, I think Oliveira's got that chin that does get caught and he does get put on his back. And I do think Gaethje... it's a lot harder than Dustin think. Yeah. This is going one way, and I think it'll be close to begin with, but I think Oliveira will sort of break away, and I think he's submit Gaethje.
Have you had any comments on this? Have people been picking what they want to see? Have you had anything?
We had Rom, actually. Rommel has just put one out here.
UFC 272 is the most intriguing of them all. So yeah, he's going with what? Yeah, out of all four, which is madness when you've got three title fights. But that the beef, we've seen it time and time again. Sometimes beef and all the stuff outside of the cage makes them more people want to watch, don't they? It doesn't necessarily mean because it's a title fight you want to see it more.
Well, you're gonna love the co-main event, Stuart, if it gets booked.
Right, go on, fire away, because I don't know.
Nate Diaz versus Dustin Poirier at welterweight.
Did I read something actually? Now thinking of, but yeah, imagine.
That'd be brilliant.
What a card, man.
Four people up to talk. You don't need to put any other fighter in the conference. Just put them four people up and it just sells.
Nate alone, mate. He's just so funny.
And his last fight in his contract, don't forget.
He needs a big one, then he needs another big one, right? You know, absolutely, absolutely. Are we moving on to the boxing, Chris? We're going back in.
So last
Saturday, Sunday morning for us. And yeah, Gary Russell Jr. loses his WBC featherweight title against Magisteo Filipino, actually. Magisteo, so Romel know him really well. Chris, he was boxing with one arm. They said you could see, couldn't you, through how many punches he was throwing. Magisteo was doubling on him on punches and landed punches in the first seven rounds. But also, Russell Jr. was on a six-fight win streak since he's won the title. But the defences have been very sporadic, because he won the belt in 2015. And it's been like a year for each defence, you know, where normally they're looking to defend it, their title twice, aren't they, in a year in the boxing. But also, he's had the passing of his brother, as Gary Russell Jr., and his dad's health issues too. So he's had a lot on his plate going into the fight. But Magisteo's promoter said he deserves a rematch. So it was quite nice from their end. You know, they realised he was at odds before even getting in there.
Yeah, with the injury.
Volume from Magisteo, unbelievable. And he looked bigger, Chris, to me, Magisteo. I know they're both at the same weight. But you could see, couldn't you? He looked bigger than Gary Russell. But yeah, all I can see there is that they will have a rematch. Feel for him a little bit.
Yeah,
I feel for him a little bit of everything going on before he's even gone into box.
As you actually nicely put about Magisteo's volume was incredible, Stuart. And the pace at the jabs and the straight hooks he was throwing at Russell. But I loved Russell before his injury. You know what I mean? It looks like he's getting peppered by Magisteo, but the slips and the rips, the slipping of the head movement, Magisteo strikes. Because, yeah, again, like I say, you think that Magisteo, to an untrained eye, is hitting George Russell with all these hits, especially in the first couple of rounds. But if you watch it very closely, Stuart, George Russell is slipping a lot of those fights with his head movement. But as you say, interesting fight, but it's, you saw that injury happen and you just saw that the change of fortune then. And obviously, he couldn't throw a jab, really, could he? He couldn't throw a hook. He was struggling with his head movement then, because obviously he was in pain.
What heart from the man, though. You know, when you're hampered and you're on one hand and one arm, and it was an incredible fight from him, man. You know, Magisteo, you know, he still had to box, he still had to beat him. But I just hope they get a rematch, Chris.
Well, if he listen, if you say they've, Magisteo, people have called, then I think it's fair, you know, that the man got injured, which again is one of those unfortunate things that happens during fights. So I think it'd be fair to give him a rematch and do it again and have a proper fight with no injury, and then you can really determine who's the better fighter out of the both of them then.
Absolutely.
And Rommel's jumped in here.
Here we go. Yes, this is what I wanted, actually. A fellow Filipino who's now WBC champion at featherweight as well. So no, fantastic. Not taking anything away from him. And the heart of Gary Russell with one arm, as I say, amazing. But yeah, I'm all Magisteo in that fight, but I'm going to say it. I almost called it a draw, even though Russell was injured. Russell is hitting Magisteo clean. Right, no, it's a good note. No, thank you for your comment there, Ramel. I knew you'd have something to say on this one with your fellow native fighter.
Yeah, well, you know, injuries screw a lot of things up, don't they, in fights? Luckily, I mean, at least he didn't get finished once he got his injury. You know, you've seen a lot of fighters, and I've seen especially in MMA, you know, when they've got injured in a fight and they carry on and they get stopped. And, you know what I mean? And then that sort of ruins the rematch then, doesn't it, really? If they get, you know, if they get a rematch. So, you know what I mean? Tops for George Russell to carry on with a fight with that injury. But absolutely. Yeah, it was a really good fight as well, Stuart. Not watched any of them before, so it was really intriguing for me to watch.
I should say, like, he's only managed to defend the belts like once a year. Obviously, COVID, another, you know, that was later on. But even it was always like one defense. I should have looked if he was injured and stuff. Like, maybe he was because he hasn't been as frequent. But he still made six defenses of the belt. Makabu, Ilunga Makabu's fighting this week. I know there was a lot of talk in 21 at the back end that, you know, it was saying about Canelo Alvarez fighting him. Going up into that division, which, you know, Canelo, I still have him as my fighter of the year, especially in boxing. That'll be interesting. And Sergio Martinez, who's well into his 40s, he's fighting tonight against a British fighter. Okay. The name eludes me. He's like well into his 40s. He was world champion. Some of our British fighters went over when he was at peak to fight him as well. Hmm. Matthew Macklin fought him. Martinez is a good boxer. But yeah, 46, Chris. He's got the hunger to go back in there. So the same age as Anderson Silva.
You know, Anderson 10 years Silva. 10 years on us, that's sure.
I know. That's tonight, that as well, I noticed. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll have to look out for that one, see how he gets on tonight.
And, I think you've got...
Sergio Martinez is one of my all-time favourite boxers. He was fantastic 10, 15 years ago. No question there. He was a brilliant fighter. But yeah, it'd be good to see how he gets on tonight, Ramel, to be fair. Anything else, Chris, with the UFC before we go?
Well, no. Obviously, we've had a few fight announcements, haven't we, recently? Just thinking of the UK fights. We've had Molly McCann's fights announcement. Paddy's fight's been announced. Obviously, Arnold Allen's fight's been announced. It's nice to see UFC getting back to the UK. We want to see a bit more fighters. I know Jack Shaw's on the card. Mason Jones didn't make it. He's still injured. He has sent like an Instagram video to why he's not on the card. But yeah, listen, it's nice to get back into doing this again. I feel like we're on like the cliff edge of some amazing fights that are coming up. You know, next week we have Jack Manison versus Sean Strickland. Obviously, UFC not on this week. And after that, it's Izzy versus Whittaker too. So it's full steam ahead when it comes to UFC.
And we've got Eubank Jr. versus Liam Williams as well, which was meant to happen in December. Obviously, got cancelled. So, yeah, February 5th for that. And our good friend Steve Robinson will be on the undercard. Not sure who his opponent is, but I'm thinking maybe we can get him on maybe a week or two after the fight, because he's going to be going into fight week now, isn't he? So he's going to be busy. But, yeah, we'll reach out to Steve, won't we, Chris? Because we had fun with Steve last year.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he wants us pecking his head before a fight.
No, probably not. And then Khan and Kell Brook, finally. I mean, you know, we said about the years of waiting for it. But yeah, February the 19th for that one, which is... I'm still looking forward to that because there's a lot of beef. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, some good, real good cards coming up.
Actually...
On the precipice.
I'm just looking here... Well, we've obviously going in Feb, Stuart. We've got Whittaker versus Adesanya too. We've got Dos Anjos versus Fizay. I don't know if you've seen Fizay before, but he's really, really good, Stuart, up and comer. We've got Dalyush versus Makhachev. So we're going
to
really
looking forward to that. Maybe we were looking forward to that when it got announced.
And just think, and then deep into straight into March, it's Kobe Covington versus Masvidal. Obviously, we're still waiting on Poirier versus Diaz to see if that's the co-main event. Yeah, and then Stuart, 19th of March, we've got the London card. After that, we've got Blachowicz versus Rakic, which I think that determines then who's going to be fighting.
Yeah.
Yuri Prochazka and, oh no, Glover Teixeira. I thought his name went out of my head, and how can I forget the champion? That fight's been announced. I think they're fighting in May. So, you know, there's a lot of fights that have been jumping out recently. So, really looking forward to all these fights, Stuart. Also, like I said, I'm going to go back to the London card quickly. It's nice that we can watch a fight in a normal time. And that's, you know, really sit and watch it.
Yeah. Saying that, though, Chris, they have done well doing the Vegas cards earlier, haven't they?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of Vegas cards at the Apex where they had moved them, which was good, wasn't it? You know, But yeah, it'll be nice to have it even more so on a normal UK time. And yeah, so hopefully Ton Aspinall, it is his time and he can get past Volkov. But we know how well equipped Volkov is. You know, he's a fantastic fighter as well. But now or never, I guess, Chris.
I didn't think he was going to rush. I knew that they had it with another fighter because I think originally they were doing Darren Till versus why has this name got in my head? Uriah Hall, sorry. That was going to be the main event for London, but they've scrapped that now. Apparently Darren Till's not fully ready yet. Which is fair enough. You know what I mean? He's coming off the back-to-back losses, isn't he? So, you know, maybe he just needs to get his head straight, get through his injury, and then maybe pop him on a fight night card somewhere in America. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I mean, I want, you know, there's a lot of good Welsh fighters coming through. Like I say, Mason Jones, there's Jack Shaw. He's had obviously a change of opponent because he's been facing a Nurmagomedov's cousin, I think it was, twice now, and then it's fallen through. So he's fighting somebody else. I can't many remember who it was he's fighting against. But really, it's a really interesting fight coming up, Stuart.
Absolutely.
Leon Edwards is getting his long-awaited title shot against Usman. I don't know a date yet. I think Dana White came out and said summertime for Usman for when he comes back, which is fair enough because he did fight 3 times last year, more so than any other champion. And then he put a show on every single fight he had.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So something to look forward to.
Quite a four, five, 6 months then, Chris, when you think about it. No, but it's just card after card. And it's going to be incredible. And we look forward to leave before we depart. Anything else?
Well, obviously, I was going to say you're probably going to have to sprinkle some Jake Paul somewhere in there, aren't you, for a fight? Because I'm sure I did hear that he's in talks with PFL, which is another MMA organization to go into MMA. Yeah. I'm not. Just leave our sports alone, please.
Brett will be happy. Brett will be happy. That's the main thing. We'll have plenty of comments from Brett when that all comes, you know, through the old grapevine. And it's
100%.
But good to be back for episode 44, Chris. And do you know what? It was nice putting some old episodes, the interview episodes, up through Christmas while we were off. It was nice to do that. And obviously we got the intro countdown as a trailer on Spotify now, so it's at the top of the page. That's our trailer. That's right. So that's nice. And I think that's it, mate. I think we've covered everything.
Hold on. Well, actually, why we've been off, we've ventured into Twitter finally. So we've got a Twitter account, we've got an Instagram account. Stuart's mad on TikTok, so he's organizing a TikTok account. All the links to our Twitter, our Facebook, our very own YouTube channel, Instagram, TikTok, Apple, Spotify, they're all in the links in the description. So if you want to watch back on old stuff, you can go on Powered Four's YouTube channel, or all our old episodes are still on there, as well as this one currently we're filming. Come and join us. If you want to carry on after the show's finished and you got something else to say, click on one of those links or any of our social medias and, you know, drop us a message.
Absolutely. Well done there, Chris, getting all the socials in. Yeah, that's good. And we will see you next week. Don't know a date yet, Chris. I need to have a look through. But it might be Monday. It might be Monday because I'm having to work Tuesday now. It was going to be Tuesday.
But, right.
Okay. We'll be back. We'll be back next week. We are back. And as Chris says, if you've got some opinions and you want conversations, post to the pages if you'd like. You know, it's all about, there's so much going on fight-wise. It's going to be amazing. So, yeah, we implore you to do that. We like the interactivity with you guys. So, absolutely. We will see you next week. It'll be episode 45 of Powered4.tv Big Fight Weekly with myself, Stuart Palmer, and my co-host and cousin, Chris Hume. All good.
See you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.